could sing it all the way around. It made me feel like I was part of the president's list. Well done. Well done, young lady, and all that business there. What do you have to do to be on the list of the president? Certain GPA, is that like a GPS? No, yeah. All right, well, good for you. Good for you, and congratulations on that, by the way, all the way around. And there was a whole lot of times that I should have been recognized and rewarded better, but I don't know, the teachers just didn't believe what I mean, you would have thought that they'd at least had a voluntary stand-up comedian award. But they didn't. And I did get a paddle in every now and again, but I'm glad that's over. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Psalm chapter 40. Over there in the book of Psalm chapter number 40. And if you're able to stand, we'll look there at about verse number 1. And one of the passages that we're reading, the very first one that we're going to be reading, is not one of my better suits, but I want it to be. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my crying. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Boy, God saved us from a bad place, didn't he? Out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it. I'm going to tell you what that involves there, if you're looking at it closely. Is that you've got something other people can see that's took place in your life in a divine sense. And fear, he says, they'll see it, and fear shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respected not the proud, nor such that turn aside to lies. All right, verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart, and I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation, and have not concealed the loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord, and let my loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Now, Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed together. We pray that now you'd meet every prayer request, right every wrong, save the lost, heal the sick, lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while an old style sermon, when men protect their congregation from the word of the Lord. You know, whenever I was growing up, I mean, every time you went anywhere, and I didn't care if it was a Bible conference, I didn't care if it was a camp meeting, I didn't care what kind of revival thing that it may or may not be, buddy, they would preach heaven real and hell hot, and the Holy Ghost of God would move up and down those aisles, and I'm talking about you'd see people weeping and crying and all that business there. It was long before the fabricated shout came in. By that I'm talking about, you know what it is, you're a program shouter. If you can shout over one of these men here preaching, but you can't shout if you're not in your church, that's program shouting. The word of the Lord, buddy, it doesn't matter if you're in Nacogdoches or Timbuktu, the word of the Lord's ever going to be the same. And in this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that we live in a day and an hour. And you young preachers, you're going to find out sooner or later. I can tell you, anytime there's a preacher that's not preaching heaven real and hell hot to his congregation, he's not going to want you to say anything about it either. And if you do, you better go ahead and have yourself a blast, you know, and enjoy it, because that's going to be your last run. I remember years ago, and of course, you know, now you dare not say this in public. That's the reason why I'm real careful about it, you know, is that all of that child evangelism, bow your head, repeat a prayer kind of thing. Now, am I glad God saves a kid? You bet. And all that business there. But I'm not glad to see somebody that's a toddler walking down there and their mama has gotten them led to the Lord. I'm not, you know, that was one of them Jack Hiles junkies I used to. He's dead and gone now and all that business there. But I can tell you right now, if he ain't in hell, there ain't one. Now, if you say that around the average Baptist preacher's son, they're going to treat you like you were Dracula. Except I'm not going to want to bite you on the neck. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find there was a day, there was an hour, that it didn't make any difference where you went. And it, hey, listen, you could be in a Southern Baptist, an old Southern Baptist preacher that had the touch of God. He'd preach to you, friend. It could be in one of them old missionary Baptist churches. And if they had the touch of God, they'd be preaching to you and all that business there. And now you can't hardly find an independent Baptist that'll do anything but veer from the truth of God and try to make you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent. I got to say to you that if you will, then anytime you're sitting in any congregation and you go to feeling pretty good about yourself, you're not receiving it right. Because when God goes to stirring you up, I'll tell you what, he makes me realize, Dad Dennis, don't feel too good about yourself because you're not that good a person. You are what you are by the grace of God. And I'm glad to say that we ought to be preaching the word of the Lord in season and out of season. And let me say to you that if you will, you know what that means, don't you? It means if it's deer season, you ought to still be faithful to the house of God and the preaching of the word. If it's fishing season, you still ought to be faithful to the house of God and getting the picture now. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out it's God that chose preaching, the foolishness of preaching, he termed it, to be able to save them that will believe him. If you're sitting here tonight in this building, let me look around here and see. I don't see anybody that's too new. There's not a person in here that's never heard the gospel one time in their life. You've heard it several times. If you're not saved, I don't know what you're waiting on. I got to tell you right now is that God chose that, and that's what you ought to choose. And you ought to say, Lord, I'm glad to be able to trust you as my Lord and Savior. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, you're going to find out you don't never want to become just a crowd pleaser. Now, there's no need in you being mean and ruthless and ugly and hateful and all that business there. But I got to tell you right now is that you're going to deal with some of that in life. And whenever you do deal with it, you're going to find there's going to be a lot of people have a lot of advice for you. They got no Bible to match it up. But see, I remember one time over there in Grand Saline, Texas, I had an old man. He was a deacon. He hated my guts and all that business there. And he went to town to tell me, here's the way that it ought to be done and the ministry ought to be and all that. And I said, that's fine, sir. Now, have you got a Bible for that, Bible verse for any of that? No, it's not in the Bible. It's in the deacon handbook. I said, I'm sorry. We're going to go ahead with the word of the Lord. Let God be true and every man a liar. You see what I'm talking about in the day we live in? Now, there was an old man there that just about he would have whooped me if he thought he could have. And back in my younger day, I wasn't so big, but I was fast. I could outrun you probably pretty good. And let me tell you right up front is that there's people that have just got some kind of a crazy notion, a crazy idea that they've bought into. And as a result of it, the average Baptist preacher's become what's called a quote-unquote crowd pleaser. I begin to think about in the lesson here that you're looking at, it's not hard if you look around to find congregations across the country. I'm talking about independent congregations. And I'm talking about people that that are King James Bible only and don't believe in ne'er a bit of literature either. And just they don't believe in studying, and it shows up in them in their preaching. And but here's the idea. They like celebrities. Remember back a few years ago whenever they had those guys that were going around that were bending bars of iron and lifting weights and all of that, and that's what was appealing to people out there in the world that we live in. I got to tell you right now, that's a crowd pleaser. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to be able to find out is that in the day we live in, that entertainment has replaced evangelism. Evangelism is to preach the word of the Lord, let God show you yourself like he sees you, and to snatch you as a brand from the burning and let you be washed by the blood and born into the family of God. But we live in a day and an hour to where the programs for a crowd has replaced the preaching of Christ to that same congregation. I was thinking about, you know, what's going on in the day we live in. Here it is right here. You might want to make a mental note of it. But we live in the day and the hour when there's too much pampering, not enough preaching. And as a result of that, you're going to find out men lose sight of Christ. And as a result, they see the crowd. And they're wondering what's going to please the crowd. I remember whenever I first got saved, you could every now and again get together with two or three preachers. And as most of the time, one of them was coming up. Have you fellows ever come up with some kind of a good cliche to be able to get somebody to come down the aisle, make a profession, and get in the baptistry? In fact, I keep my baptistry full all the time because I got to tell you is that if I dare let one of them leave, I'm afraid I can't ever get them back. And I used to sit and listen to some of that, and I want to tell you something. If somebody generally gets born again, you ain't got to worry about finding them in 30 days with the FBI. Here's what you got to realize and know. If God saves them, they'll be wanting to follow the Lord in baptism, and they'll be wanting to be there faithfully, Johnny, on the spot, whoever Johnny was, but anyhow, not Gianni, but Johnny. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that crowd pleasing will certainly make a mockery of the things of God and the word of the Lord. Now, there's a passage that we're going to be looking at, and you can just listen to it that if you like. But in the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that when men, whenever they preach some other way to try to help the Lord out, instead of just preaching the word of the Lord, if the word of the Lord can't get it done, see what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not against an illustration, but I can tell you what I am against is that I am against that whenever a preacher is so desperate, and I've seen a few evangelists like this, and seen them so desperate to where when they got through preaching the sermon, they had to come up with some tear-jerking story that didn't have anything to do with the Bible to try to work on emotions to try to get you down the aisle. I was like that one old boy one time, you know, he was so desperate preaching at a place. And after he had sung Just As I Am, all five verses of it, he is on the third run of it, about middle ways of it, whenever he said, now this time, if there's anybody in this building that loves your mama, I want you to come down to this altar and I want you to pray. Now, you talk about a guy in desperation. You know, in days gone by, and it's been a while, but in days gone by, I've got ready to close down a service. And then all of a sudden, buddy, somebody just couldn't stand it, and they'd bust out, hold on a minute, preacher. Hold on a minute. God's dealing with my heart and been dealing and come down the aisle. And what a wonderful thing that is to see God move in like that. And I can tell you right now, I'm hoping one of these days that we'll see some more of that. I remember one time we were closing out over there in Cherokee Baptist Church, and I remember, and as we got ready to bow and pray, done got through singing, done got ready everything, and all of a sudden, buddy, it sounded like somebody was tearing up the pew, and there's an old gal that was back there, been under conviction a while. She come stepping, looked like she was stepping over people and on people and around people, and came down that aisle weeping and bawling and got saved by the wonderful grace of God. I can tell you, when God gets on you, they nobody going to have to be able to say, everybody bow your head now, nobody's looking but just me. You ain't got to worry about all that. I'm not opposed to that, but if God gets on something, you hadn't got to worry about trying to help him out and help somebody down the aisle. You know, I used to every now and again, whenever Brother Kidd would come, it bothered him because some of them preachers said, yeah, all he does is tell graveyard stories and try to get people stirred up emotionally. And it was bothering him, and so he was telling me about that. I said, well, quit telling graveyard stories then. I mean, you see, some of the most scary things that we ever had was a gal dying in a car that had said no to God. It burst into flames. She's screaming and crying and left out this world like that and all that business there. Now, it may happen. It may not happen. I don't know. Here's what I do know. God don't have to do all of that and burn up a car to get somebody to come down the aisle. See what I'm telling you? And as a result of that, you know what that does? That makes me want to buy a wig. I guess it did him too. Now that's what he's doing, peddling wigs up and down the road. I tell you, anytime I see somebody like that, it makes me wonder if they're not as fake is that wig they're wearing. God bless you. Thank you very much. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that the word of the Lord, here's what he said. There was a time when men did not want to protect their congregation from preaching, but they wanted to expose them to what thus saith the Lord. Do you know whenever you try to do something contrary to the mind of God and the will of God, you make the cross of Christ none effect? That's what it says over there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 about verse number 17. Now I want to tell you something. When men would rather baptize, when they would rather baptize than they had simply preach the word of the Lord, they're not following the rule of the Apostle Paul that said, I thank God that I baptized none of you, and then he named a couple that he had. But as a result of that, God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In closing tonight, I want to say to you is that we live in the day and the hour when there's a lot of comfortable preaching. I don't know about you, but I feel like that Mama told me I was a good boy long enough to where I realized to know that Mama's just being biased toward me and about me. I'm not that good a boy. I pulled a few shenanigans that ought not have been pulled, and I paid for them. But nonetheless, that's neither here nor there. I just said all that to say this, is that you're going to find out that we live in the day and hour of psychology. And what that is, that's comfortable preaching. It makes people feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. That's what psychology does. And I want to tell you something. Whenever you preach the unadulterated word of the Lord, you're not going to feel good about yourself. The fact is, you're going to feel good about the grace of God and the mercy of God that's been availed to you, no doubt about that. But make no mistake about it, we're not talking about sin in a general sense. Listen, we want to be able to feel there's a guilt because we're lost, and there's remorse because we need the Lord. There's repentance that's granted, and when God gives you all of that, when he gives you repentance and gives you faith, I can tell you something, it'll be real for everlasting and everlasting deep down in your heart. Now, in closing tonight, I want to say to you that, if you will, comfortable preaching causes people to be deceived. Well, you think the Bible said over there that if a man thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceiveth his own self. Remember that? And what that means is, he says, let every man prove his own work, and then you'll have rejoicing in yourself alone and not in another. I want to say, as we think about that, complete preaching. Paul the Apostle said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the gospel of God. In other words, whatever God says, I'm going to tell it to you. I'm going to declare the whole counsel of God to you. And I'm not going to handle the word of God deceitfully, but I'm going to be truthfully and I'm going to be honest with you. Now, I don't know about you, but when you leave this place tonight, if you've got all your ducks in a row and your business straightened up and straightened out with God, you ought to be able to walk out of here with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Somebody asked me one time many moons ago, how can you know if you're saved or not? Well, God come knocking on your heart's door. God's been troubling you about it. Did God grant give you repentance and faith to where that you, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and being buried and raising again the third day. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for troubling my heart about it. Now, whenever it's like that and you've called upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. You can be saved. And if you got saved by the grace of God, you got saved the same way everybody else got saved. And that is through the precious blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I read about a missionary tonight, and his name is Shilonek, something like that. I can't never pronounce that name, but he's over in Thailand. They've been praying for this woman a long time. She's an Uber driver. And anyhow, they got to talking and to her as they were going some direction. And as a result of that, she had been listening to them for, I don't know, a year or two. And finally, she said, I'm tired of asking too many questions. I want to be saved is what I want to be done. I want to be saved by the grace of God. And so she got saved. And so I was glad that we got the lesson. I got the newsletter and was rejoicing with her. And you and I have got part of that. Hey, do you know where those missionaries are out of? Cheyenne, Wyoming. Now, God used somebody from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and took them over to Thailand. We've been supporting them for years now. And Lord, let me tell you right now, the other testimony that I gave the other day when that man had gotten saved, remember that? And it was a good testimony. It came from the same people. But it's just good to know people that believe and know the Lord. I wonder tonight, as we get ready to stand to our feet and our heads are bowed, and as we get ready to pray and dismiss, maybe you're here and say, "Preacher, I've been putting this off long enough. I'm going to go ahead and say I want to make it known, and I want to make it known now." May that be the desire, Lord. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of the word and the preaching of it. And we pray that, Lord, that you'd finish the message in every heart. Thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. And ask you, Lord, that you'd continue to move upon us within us. May we be a testimony with our lip and our life. And dear God, may we speak the unadulterated truth by the word of the Lord and the spirit and power of God. Bless these men and women, boys and girls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.